Would you turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 17? We're going to revisit a Bible story that is beloved and familiar, but it often becomes relegated to younger children of Sunday school or as a illustration for youth camp. But I believe it's an important story in the life of the believer. Amen. How many knows what the story is that is found in 1 Samuel 17? Does anyone know? David and Goliath. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to interrupt the story in verse 32. You can keep your Bibles open. We'll be referring to other verses as we proceed. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul, the encourager, the man of faith, said to David, "Thou art not able." How many's ever heard that in your Christian experience? "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will," not "he might," or "he maybe," or "he could," but "he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Lord who in the past delivered me from the paw of the lion, and in the past delivered me from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from what I'm facing right now. The giant's coming down. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight on the David kind of faith. The David kind of faith. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I haven't said a lot about my trip. One of my purposes of going back to Oklahoma is I was flying down there to help Hannah drive back from Bible school. And I flew into Tulsa, and she loaded up her car in Neosho and drove down to pick me up. And when she got to the airport, after much of my praying, it's the first time, you know, it's to do that for her. When she got there, I took over at the wheel. Now, I want to preface this by saying I'm not making fun of Hannah's car. It's just 16 years old, and it's got a lot of mileage on it. And I'm not used to driving it. And so, Brother Dale, when I got behind the wheel and left the airport, there was a shimmy in the front end. There's a little play in the transmission. There was some clacking that I wasn't accustomed to. And I began to immediately think, I don't even know if I'm going to make it out of Tulsa, much less back to Ohio. And then I get to think, you know, maybe I'll get out of Tulsa, but I don't think I'll make it to Shawnee, 100 miles away, much less to Ohio. I mean, I was nervous. I mean, if you know a little bit about automobiles, it makes you even more nervous, you know. I just said, I just don't know if we're going to make it. Put it bluntly, I didn't have a lot of faith in her car. I was on pins and needles. But every mile that I put behind me, I became a little less worried. Every mile that I got further down the road, I became a little less concerned. I want you to hold that story in your mind and ask yourself as I preach tonight, Why did he tell that story? What does that story have to do with anything? How does the story of Hannah's car have anything to do with David and Goliath? Even I believe this story of David appeals to us not just because the mighty victory that David had when he killed that giant and killed Goliath. I think this story appeals to us because we each realize we too have giants that we face. I'm glad for David and Goliath. Because if David's giant fell, it tells me my giant can fall too. Hallelujah. Amen. A few months ago, we've completed a series on overcoming. Amen. Just because we completed the series doesn't mean the need to overcome has ended. Amen. We have giants in our life. And I pray by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the time we're finished, each of us in our hearts will have the faith that we need to face and overcome our giant. I pray that we would have the David kind of faith. The story begins with a tension between two armies. The Bible said there was a valley called Elah. A valley is a portion of land that is flanked by mountains on either side. You know that. But on one side, the mountain slopes were filled with God's people, the Israelites. On the other side, the slopes were filled with the heathen, paganistic, idolatry worship Philistines. Amen. But into that valley between the mountain slopes, every day for 40 days marched out the champion of the Philistines, a huge man, 9 feet 9 inches tall. Not only a huge man, but a man well armored. He had a helmet of brass. He had a coat of mail. He even had metal on his legs, and he must not have been that brave because he had a piece of metal on his back. He couldn't have been that courageous. He must have intended sometime the other to run. Not only was he well armored, he was well equipped. You read the facts, the specs on that spear that he had, and that was a huge spear. He not only had spear, he had sword, and he had shield, and he had an armor bearer to go before him. And 40 days he marched out into that valley, and he stood there and he hollered out, "I defy the armies of the Lord God. I stand here and I defy those armies. I am the block in your way. I am the one that keeps you from victory. I am the one that's going to take your land, enslave your children, and burn your fields. But I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a challenge with you. Give me someone to fight with me. And here's how it's going to go. When your man fights with me, if he wins, the Philistines, my people, will serve your people. But if I win in that battle, then your people are going to serve my people. I defy you." 40 days he marched out into that valley. And what was the response of King Saul? What was the response of God's people, the Israelites? What did they do when they heard the giant? The Bible said they were filled with dismay and with fear. They were filled with dismay and with fear. Oh, but the story doesn't end with Saul and the Israelites, because there was a shepherd boy keeping watch over his sheep, and daddy called him to the house, and daddy said, "I got a mission for you. You got 3 brothers in the Israelite army. Here's some bread, here's some corn, here's some cheese. Take the bread and corn to feed your brothers. Take the cheese to butter up their captain, and go see how the battle is." Now, people would say, from a man's perspective, it just turned out this way. But I don't believe it was coincidence that the very moment that David showed up at the army camp was the very moment that day that that giant Goliath marched out into that valley. Amen. And as David stood there talking to his brethren, he began begin to hear the hollering of that giant in the valley, the screaming out of that challenge from that giant. And David began to say, what does this mean? What's going on? And the people explained it to him. And he asked a little further, well, what's going to happen to the one that kills this giant? What's going to be the reward? And the word got back to King Saul that there was a man that wasn't running, that wasn't hiding, that wasn't in fear, that there was someone asking about how to fight the giant. And so King Saul called David into his presence. Oh, hallelujah. You got to contrast the dismay and the fear of King Saul and the Israelites with what David said when he marched into the audience of King Saul. What did David say? He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Oh, I'm telling you, Saul, the Israelites, filled with fear. But look at David. He's ready to fight. Why is he ready to fight? Because he's got faith in God. I'm telling you, we need that kind of faith. We can have it tonight. I've got to say this before I move on. I begin to think what David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. And I thought what David's descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ, said when he talked about the end times. Amen. Jesus said the sun's going to be dark and the moon's going to turn to blood. And then Jesus said this, and I believe we're living here. Jesus said men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The descendant of David said there's going to be a time when men's hearts will fail them for fear. But oh, let's listen to Jesus' ancestor David. He said, let no man's heart fail because of fear. I believe in our time, by the prophecy of Jesus, in these last days we are facing giants like never before. Oh, but let's listen to the forebearer of Christ. He tells us our hearts do not have to fail because of fear, but we can have a faith to face every giant that comes at us in these last days. Amen. Don't be fearful. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's time to have faith and not fear. I told someone this week that called with trouble in their lives, and I wouldn't minimize it in the least, but I was already contemplating this. And I said, listen, Saul and the Israelites on one hand and David on the other, they faced the very same giant, but the difference was in their response to the giant. Saul and the Israelites responded with fear, but David responded with faith. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the giants we face are real and they are the same, but we do not have to respond with fear. We can respond with faith in a living God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want the David kind of faith. How do we know that David had faith? It's in his declaration to King Saul. Brother Durth, you'll put verse 37 up again. Even in David's declaration, I'll fight that giant. He said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. There's the faith of David right there. Oh, don't you like his confidence? Don't you like his assurance? He said, King Saul, you will know how I can fight that giant. Let me testify a little bit. Let me tell you what the Lord has already done. Let me tell you what is history that God has already done. He delivered me out of the paw of the... He delivered me out of the paw. And I know, I've got faith. I believe he's going to deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. How could David say this when the more veteran soldier, the stronger soldiers, the better equipped soldiers, the better trained soldiers were cowering in fear? How could David say this? It's because he had the David kind of faith, and we can have that faith too. David shows us how. We're going to look at that. We can do as David did. We can have the same kind of faith when we face our giant. We can kill our giants too. Let me tell you just a little bit before we finish up and bring this together. David faced his giant in the valley. That giant Goliath stomped out between the two hills, and his voice shook the hills and the men on them. I want to tell you, David faced Goliath in the valley. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I'm going to preach the truth. As believers, we're not always on the mountaintop. As believers, we're not always in a euphoria in our experience with God. There are times that we have valleys to walk through. We have valley experiences. And the truth of the matter is, every valley has a giant. Every valley you go through has a giant in it. That's where giants like to show up. Giants don't show up when you're in that good service on the mountaintop, feeling the presence of God, shouting glory. The giants never show up on the mountaintop of your experience with God. The giants show up in the valley. Every valley has its giant. Amen. And the men fled, the Bible said, in fear. They were sore afraid. You look at that as you read the story. Only David standing strong and the other men fleeing in fear. We can be too hard on those men that fled. We can be too critical of them. We forget that Goliath was awfully big and awfully ugly and awfully scary. And so we're hard on them. We say, why? They should have been fearful. They should not have ran. But you know what the truth of the matter is? In our flesh, and without the strength of God, and without the help of God, I probably would have ran too. And we're hard on that man. But I'm telling you, if a lot of us was plopped down in that valley facing Goliath, we'd probably have joined the Israelites and fleeing too. I'm talking about till our faith caught up. Because giants are scary. How many knows that? But I'm not just talking about Goliath. That giant was huge. It was intimidating. It was jeering. It was harassing. It was frightening. But David faced him with faith. David faced him with the David kind of faith. You know what it is to face a giant, don't you? It's when that problem just looms over you. Amen. You know what it is to face a giant? It's when that thing's so big, it overshadows all of your life and living. You know what it is to face a giant? It's to face something that looks too big for you to do anything about. It's to face something that appears that it's got to prevail and you must be overcome. It must have the upper hand and you must be defeated. You know what it is to face the giant? It's to face something that by any account, by any reckoning, is a whole lot bigger than you, bigger than your resources, bigger than your wisdom, bigger than the amount of money that you have. That's a giant. Now listen, we know the name of David's giant that he faced. David's giant was named Goliath. But my question tonight is, what's the name of your giant? Amen. Amen. Not Goliath. What's the name of your giant? I won't list everything, but is your giant's name fear or worry or doubt or anxiety or temptation or loneliness or financial trouble or marriage trouble? Is your giant's name guilt? Is your giant's name anger? Is your giant's name addiction? Amen. I'm here to preach, whatever the name of your giant, all you need is faith, the David kind of faith. Oh, somebody say amen tonight. While others were running and hiding, David was saying, I'll fight him. Hallelujah. I'll defeat him. Amen. How could he say that? He had the David kind of faith. I want you to notice that David had faith when he didn't have anything else. Brother Brian, David was without experience. Saul recognized that. When that boy walked in and said, I'll kill that giant, Saul said, whoa, 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 whoa. You're but a youth, and he has been a soldier from his youth. You know what he was saying? David, you have no experience. The giant knew he didn't have experience. When David finally made it out to that valley with his slingshot, that giant looked at him and got angry and said, who do they think that I am, a dog, that they would send this little kid without experience out to fight me? Listen, Saul knew David didn't have experience. The giant knew David didn't have experience. David's brothers knew he didn't have the experience. And I'll tell you, someone else knew it. David knew he didn't have the experience. David was not only without experience, he was without the equipment. The giant had spear, sword, shield, and armor. Saul had armor and sword and shield. David didn't have that kind of equipment. I mean, he had old school. He had no school. Amen. He had just a staff and a sling and a few stones. He was without the equipment. Have you ever felt like when you faced your problems, you were without the equipment to face them? He was without experience. He was without equipment. He was without encouragement. Amen. I've already let you know that, but everywhere David turned, there was somebody telling him he couldn't do it. You can't do it. Eliab, his brother, said to him, amen, you're just a little kid. You're only here because you're proudful. You just came to see the battle. You can't fight him. Saul looked at David and said, you can't fight that giant. The giant looked at David and said, you can't fight me. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. I mean, everywhere David looked, he received no encouragement. I mean, someone is here tonight and you've got a giant in your life, but you are without encouragement. We've got young people here that their friends at school tell them they can't live for God. Their family tells them they can't live for God. Even everybody around them says they cannot live for God. They are without encouragement. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to be encouraged. But you may be without encouragement, but you could still make it if you put your faith in God to be there with you. He was without equipment. He was without experience. He was without encouragement. He was without education. He had never been schooled and trained in killing giants. He had never been to the giant killing school. Amen. Sometimes in the ministry, there are things that we face. Some years ago, I used to always say, they never had a class on this at Bible school. How many felt that way in your job or your field? I'm telling you, he was without education. Amen. He did not have a book on 10 steps to kill your giant. Oh, but listen to me tonight. Without experience, without equipment, without encouragement, without education, amen, David faced that giant. Why? Because though he was without all those things, he had faith. The David kind of faith. Hey, but let me make one other note before we describe this and bring it to the point of killing our giant. Amen. So many people today talk about faith, but it's not a biblical faith. I'm not going to open another sermon, but I want to note some things here. You can hear across the airwaves, radio, and television. You can see it in the book covers at the Bible bookstore. It's faith, 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 faith. But I want to tell you that the majority of that they're talking about is not a biblical faith. It is not a real faith. It is not a true faith. It is not the David kind of faith. They will tell you that faith is a force. It's a power. Just like a witch learns to tap in to a power and use it to cast spells, faith is a force, a power that you can tap into. You can harness it. You can control it. And you can do things by the power of faith. I'm going to tell you something that to those teachers were sound heretical. But I want to tell you, I want you to hear it tonight. Faith never did anything. Faith is not a force. Faith never did anything. But I also want to tell you, when people put their faith and their trust in God, God did lots of things. God did many things. God did miraculous things. It isn't faith that does it. It's the God in whom we put our faith that does it. Hallelujah. Oh, they'll even subjugate God to faith and say, God's got to do it because I exercise my faith. No, sir, don't have time for that. Amen. Faith is not a feeling. Some people say, well, when they get real high on the mountaintop, when their emotions are flowing over in the presence of God, they get a feeling that they call faith. Amen. But I want to tell you, faith is not an emotional feeling that can be hyped up and worked up. It goes beyond. I want to tell you, you can have faith when everything about your emotions feels depressed and discouraged. You're drained emotionally. You don't seem to have one shred of joy in you. You seem to lose all bit of optimism and happiness. Even you do not have a good feeling. But even then, if you so choose, you can have faith in Almighty God. Oh, I want the real kind of faith. It's not a force. It's not a feeling. It's not a formula. Amen. There's a lot out there that'll teach you faith is a formula. It's saying the right word in the right way. Speak your word of faith. Amen. That's what they tell you. It's a formula. It's being able to know the right word and speak it at the right pitch at the right time. I want to tell you, faith is not, it is not a formula of words. When David got out in that valley, he didn't speak the word to the giant, as we're instructed to do today. He did not speak the word to the giant. He hurled a stone. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that man that was blind, he didn't speak the word, but at the command of Jesus, he went and washed at the pool of Siloam. That man that couldn't walk, he didn't speak the word, I'm going to walk. He didn't speak the word, but at the word of Jesus, he took up his bed and he walked. I'm telling you that faith isn't speaking a word. Amen. Faith is believing God enough to step out and obey Him. That's not the David kind of faith. So what is the David kind of faith? It's revealed in what David said to Saul. And here it is one more time. God delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. What I want you to note is what David did. Here's the David kind of faith. Amen. Brother Leitner, he took the record of the past. What was the record of the past? God has already delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. He took the record of the past for a reason in the present. I will fight him. I will defeat him. I need not fear him. I need not throw in the towel. I need not. Why? Why are you reasoning like that in the present? Because I've looked at the record of the past. God brought me through before. God helped me overcome before. I was victorious through God before. And that was the past. I took the record. And now in the present, I have ever reason to believe. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we take another look at the record of the past, right now in the present, whatever we're facing, whatever we're encountering, whatever we're feeling, right here in the present, we have every reason to believe God. He took the record of the past for a reason in the present for what would be the results in the future. He said, I've looked at the record of the past. That's given me all confidence in the present that here's what the results are going to be in the future. What are the results going to be? He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Oh, I want the David kind of faith. I mean, I'm telling you, we can have it tonight. Take the record of the past for a reason in your present to know what the results are going to be in the future. How many knows we're going to overcome? We're going to thrive. How many's read the back of the book? You know why you can have confidence in the back of the book? Because you can read the front of the book. You know the back of the book's going to come true because you've read the front of the book and everything in between. Oh God, give us a David kind of faith. He took the record of the past. God was with me when the lion came. God was with me when the bear came. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. He took that as a reason in the present. I can face that giant. For the results in the future, he will fall. I will conquer. I will cut off his head. He will defy the armies of God no more. You read this account, and every man that David ran into said, "Have you seen this man?" It's in there. You read it. They said to David, trying to discourage him, "Have you seen this man?" You know what David said in response to that? "Have you heard what the Lord hath done? He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time." I'm telling you, the devil will be right in your ear saying, "Have you taken a good look at your giant? Look how big he is. Look how mean. Look how ugly." But when the devil comes saying, "Have you seen your giant?" you respond to the devil, "Have you heard what the Lord has done?" I'm telling you, what the Lord has done, he will do. He'll do it again. Hallelujah. David had not realized when God allowed him to face the lion and God allowed him to face the bear, that God was giving him a track record to go on when he later faced the giant. Sometimes we get upset of having to face the lion and the bear, but God's just giving us a record to go on when the giant comes calling. He gives us a record. Amen. David had never faced a giant before, but he had faced a lion and a bear. Amen. You're here tonight and you've never faced this giant before that you're facing right now. But I want you to stop and think with me. Surely there's a record. Surely in your life, if you serve God any time at all, there's been a lion that come against you and God helped you to defeat it. Surely there's been a bear that you've already defeated. Surely there's valleys you've, with God, you've already come through. Surely there's a record of trials that you've already overcome. Surely you've got a record of temptation that was strong, but by the help of the Lord, you whipped that temptation and you overcame. You say, "With David, well, this is different." Yeah, but with God, the results are going to be no different. It's going to be victory. I'm talking about the David kind of faith. I want to encourage us tonight to practice the David kind of faith. Take the record of the past, of what God has done, as a reason in facing your present giant, what the results are going to be in the future. This too, you will overcome. Let me just show you how I would do it. I would take the record of my past. There's a lot of things I could share. I'm just going to share one or two. Amen. Sometimes when I'm facing the giant, I think of that time years ago as a single evangelist out in California. This is before you could use plastic to travel. I was out there in a revival. When I left that revival, I was going to have to drive all the way back. I mean, gas was high back then. It was 90 something cents a gallon out in California. I didn't know how I was going to make it back. I didn't have much money. Amen. Back to my next revival was in Texas. Amen. It was supposed to be a 3-night revival there in California. We opened on a Friday night. Folks got saved. Saturday, folks got saved. Sunday morning, folks got saved. And the pastor asked me Sunday afternoon, "Amen, can you stay here? We'll just open a revival." We opened a week of revival. I never forget that last Sunday morning. I was sitting in Sunday school class and a preacher, a pastor I barely knew, God spoke to me and said, "He's in financial trouble. Send him $100. I barely had $100. Had a $100 bill. Amen. For some of our younger ones, $100 back then would be like $300 or $400 now. I mean, it was big money. And I began to argue with the Lord. I don't know how I'll make it back if I give up this $100 bill. I hadn't been to that church before. I didn't know how they gave. You know, it doesn't help your faith when you preach a 2-week revival and get $85 in the offering. And so it doesn't help things. Amen. So God had to help me kill the lion, so to speak. I got to argue with the Lord. I didn't even have a checkbook. What I did, I took that $100 bill on Monday morning, wrapped it in a piece of paper, put it envelope. I don't even know how I had the guy's address. I addressed it to that place in Texas and sent it, not knowing I have enough money to make it back east. Hallelujah. That night we closed that revival, and that pastor handed me a check. Now listen, $100 was a lot in those days. I fainted when I opened up that check. I never look at the check right then. Just doesn't seem right. I look at it a lot later. I got back to where I stand and I opened up that check. $1,400. That'd be like $6,000 now. Oh, I killed that line. I'm telling you what. He's squashed. Hallelujah. That's the money I used to get married on. I killed the bear too. I even got double blessed by it. 2 or 3 years later, married, I sat at the table of that pastor in Texas. We were holding him a revival. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, a few years ago, we were in desperate straits, had no money to pay the bills. I was in the church praying, said, God, we got to have help. He said, I went out to the mailbox, and I reached in that mailbox, and I pulled out an envelope. I could tell by the postmark it was from California, but didn't have a return address. I don't know to this day who it's from. He said, I opened it up. He was crying at the table. He said, there's $100 in it. Of course, I wasn't going to tell him. I didn't want to lose no blessing. I wasn't going to tell him it was me. And then he went on to say, and he said, whoever it was didn't have much smarts. Sending cash like that. I sure didn't tell him then. But you know, there were times after that when I faced a giant of financial difficulty. But you know what I did? I looked at the record of the past as a reason in the present of what the results were going to be in the future. You know, God uses people without too much smarts. You know that? Because some years later, pastor in here, there was another difficult time. We all have those times financially. Got to praying about it. I came over to come to church early in the morning. And on this door, I shouldn't tell you this. Everybody will be driving by all the time. On the outside was an envelope taped to the door. On the outside. Folks will be driving by the church all the time now. Said, to the pastor. I opened it up, and there was $300 in there in cash. He didn't have too much smarts either, but thank God for folks with not too much smarts. They don't even know better except just to obey the Lord. Amen. They just obey God. Amen. You know what God was doing? He was allowing me to defeat the lion and the bear. So when I faced a giant, I would know that he too would fall. Amen. That's my record. I could share other stories. I'm not going to. You say, and I'm encouraging, look at your own record. If you're facing a giant tonight, look at your own record. You say, I have no record of my own. That is debatable. But if it's so, if you really believe you have no record of your own, then take this record. Take the Bible. It's a record of the past. Take the record of the three. Amen. Told to bend and bow. If they didn't, it's going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Heated 7 times hotter. But when the king looked in, he said, did not we throw 3 men into the fire? But 1, 2, 3, 4, and the fourth looks like the son of. If you don't have any record of your own, take this record. You say the lions are about to devour me. I have no record of my own. But they threw Daniel to the lions, and the Lord closed the mouth of the lion. Take the record right here. You see, I'm up against it. There's no way back. There's no way forward. There's no way to ever side. I'm blocked in. I'm defeated. And so were the Israelites. Backed up against the Red Sea. Nowhere to go. The pursuing Egyptians after them. But Moses took the rod and stretched it over the Red Sea and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they went across on dry ground, and God destroyed the Egyptian army. If you have no record of your own, take this record right here, a record of the past for a reason in the present of what the results are going to be in your future. God has come through for his people every time. Amen. There's a track record of God being faithful. Hallelujah. And when you take the record of this book, know it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He will do for you. One more thing, and I'm done. If you have no record of your own, take this record. But you can also take the record of the saints you know. And I don't always, it's not intentional. I always don't get the details just right, because a lot of things happen when I was a child, and a child processes them differently. But I want to tell you in my mind how it was as a child, from as far back as I could remember. Brother Leitner, every little bit, Sister Ella May, I hadn't said her name so long. That was her name, right? Ella May? Ella May, yes. She'd stand up and testify about a time when she was a girl and the locusts were coming through the countryside, devouring every field, every tree, every plant in their path. Her family, a poor family, they needed that crop in the field. They got to praying to God. And she would begin to cry as she told how those locusts ate right up to the fence of their property on this side, lifted up, went over their property to the one on the other side, and never touched their crop. You see, I don't believe that she did. Amen. You don't have a record of yourself. What about the saints you know? They can tell you what the Lord has done. I remember Sister Buford, after they were already retired, I can't remember if Brother Buford was still living or not, but they were retired. Her eyesight was gone. All of this, they didn't have much money left, retired from ministry. And we went out to visit her one time, our family did, just us. She said, "I'm going to tell you something." She got excited. She told us. She said, "I got this thing in the mail to send so much to support an orphan." And she said, "I pledged $100. I told the Lord I'd send him $100, but I didn't have $100. She said, "What I did have was a check for $20. She said, "I went to the bank and cashed that check, and they hadn't handed me a $20 bill. She said, "But when I was driving home, or being driven home, she said, "I got to feeling that thing, and it felt thicker than normal. And she said, "I got to working on that, and I got a corner up, and I pulled a $20 bill off." And she did that till she had $100. And the serial numbers were in consecutive order. She went to the bank and explained what happened. They said, "Ma'am, that only came through as one bill. It was only counted once." Now just think that those cashiers whose hands are accustomed to feeling money, it passed right through their hands. But she started pulling $20 bills off. I believe it, because I heard I've heard others share what Brother Buford said. It came time to pay the bills. One time his billfold was empty, and God said, "Go down and pay the bills." He had an empty billfold, went down there, pulled his billfold out, opened it up. There's $100, or however much money it was, money to pay the bills in his billfold. How many was at the convention and heard the young lady talk about just recently in her family? How many was there and heard that when they needed money for bills, they didn't have it? And she was straightening up the shoes in her daughter's closet, took some shoes and put them in a shoebox. She said, "There's nothing in there." She put the shoes in there. Later she was praying. God said, "Go open the shoebox." She went in there. That sounded silly. Opened the lid of the shoebox and looked in. There was a $100 bill laying on top of those shoes. No one had been in her house. I mean, you can doubt that if you want. I don't. I think God allows the lions and the bears to be killed, and you can take the testimony of other people as a record of the past for a reason in the present, what the result's going to be in the future. Hallelujah. Would you come to the music, folks? I mean, why did I tell you that story about Hannah's car? Because at first I was nervous. At first I didn't think we was going to make it. At first I had all kinds of apprehension. Amen. But the longer I drove it, the more road I put behind me, the greater my confidence grew. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is serving the Lord. Amen. The longer you serve Him, the better. Not only do you know Him, but you know you're able to trust Him. If you've served Him, you know He has never failed you yet. I would mind, I know it's still old, but I would have a lot more confidence taking a trip in her car today. Amen. Because it's proved itself. I said, it's proved itself. How many knows God has proved Himself? He's helped you kill the lion and the bear, and he's going to help you with the giant too. Would you stand and say, God, I want the David kind of faith. Hallelujah. I want to look at what you have done as evidence of what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Let's praise him across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to believe you, Lord. I want to trust you, Lord. I want to stand upon your promise. I want to take the record of the past for a reason in my present of what the results are going to be in the future. That giant will be killed. I hadn't even told it I'm not going to, but that giant did fall. He was defeated. His head was cut off. Instead of going into slavery, God's people went into liberty. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. That's it tonight. I'm through. But you would say tonight, I've got a giant in my life, but I want the David kind of faith to face him. I want to believe God. I want to trust in what God has already done. And if you've got a giant in your life and you just want to face it with the faith of God and not with fear and dismay, I want you to come right now and say, I'm going to believe God. Just by coming, just by stepping out, you're saying, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to place my faith in God. I'm not running. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm going to put my faith and trust in the Lord. That's it. That's the altar call tonight. Whatever giant you're facing, come and say, I'm going to face him. Look at the record. He's never failed his people. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Hallelujah. Oh, believe him tonight. Believe him tonight. Oh, believe him tonight. I know that giants hanging over you, looming over you, frightening you, trying to intimidate you, but you put your faith in God. He's never forsaken his people. Don't respond like a Saul. Respond like a David. Respond like a David. Hallelujah. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.